beautiful music playing there, and you are listening to the Vambilis. You know, we are about to start off our show for today, almost the end of the year.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another installment of Surviving Life with the Vambilis, with myself, Letitia Vambili. And next to me, as always, is my esteemed co-host and husband, Danny Vambili, or Danny V.
Oh, wow.
Let's be cool about it.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Lady V. It's so awesome to be here next to the lovely, talented, spiritually gunning, Letitia Vambili.
Guys, how many of you want to bet we leave these extravagant intros in 2024? But as usual, it's wonderful to have you guys with us on the show this morning. Before we talk about the topic that we're going to jump into today, remember that you can be in contact with us on Impact 103. Our WhatsApp line is 071-364-0376.
Yeah, we want to hear from you as we dive into another topic that we believe would challenge you guys, not just to close off the year right, but to prepare for the next season. So, Letitia, what are we talking about?
Today, we're talking about how the wilderness is not your home. You know, sometimes we can find ourselves being in a spiritual limbo or spiritual wilderness of some sort. This term is, of course, taken from the experience of the Israelites when they left Egypt and went into the wilderness. And we're supposed to be guided by God to enter into the promised land after that. The wilderness ended up being quite a long journey for the Israelites. That, of course, was not God's perfect will. But whenever we end up in a place for long enough, we forget that God perhaps has more for us than where we currently are. Sometimes we're fighting for the little when God has so much more to give us. It can feel as though just getting to the palace is enough, or just this promotion is enough, and we begin to stay stagnant in a place where God intended to put us temporarily to learn something so that you can take it to the next level. And scripture says that the Lord takes us from one place of glory to the next, yet we live in a world that constantly limits how far we're supposed to go. That is not the true kingdom of God. So whenever we look at scripture, these people are doing exploits at 130 years old, sometimes 800 years old. There's never an expiry date in the Lord.
So where are you sitting comfortably this year thinking, you know what? Yeah, life has beaten me up and I'm just going to stay here. You know, things have just been this way. This is the economy. You know, I need to just accept that the status quo applies to me and. Beloved, we are here to wake you up and say, nah, this is not how it ends, okay? If God could do something with our forefathers in the faith at the age of 800, 900, 400, you can't tell me, no, I'm 60, it's done. Come on, man. Even franchises like KFC started with the owners being in their 60s. So we on your case today, spiritually. Man, we're not letting you stay where you think you are. So stay tuned with the Vambilis as we go into this. Mandisa, Only the World.
It's time for the recap. As usual, the conversation starts here on Impact 103 every Tuesday between 6 and 6:30 p.m., where we introduce the topic for the next day. And if you were listening last night, you would have heard that we're talking about how the wilderness is not your home. Now, if you're in your scriptures, we all know who experienced the wilderness, and it's Moses and the Israelites. But today we're talking about how the wilderness can become a mindset and keep you from pushing on into the promised land. And even though we talk about Moses and the Israelites as being in the wilderness, a lot of people in scripture found themselves in a wilderness season. And essentially, a wilderness season is a season of transition and a season of preparation as well as testing for what is to come. I would consider someone like David having been in the wilderness when he was in the cave, of course, and believe it or not, when he was king of Judah, because it was a sort of preparation for the fact that he would be king of Israel. And today we're talking about how good things can happen in the wilderness as well that make you feel as if, listen, I've made it, you know. To be the king of Judah is not a small thing. It's an esteemed position. It's a great place to be. If you have a smaller mindset, you can think that that's all there is and that this is the finished work of God. But how many know that there is an Israelite that is waiting for you, or in Israel rather, that's waiting for you to ascend as king? Scripture speaks of how the Lord takes us from one place of glory to the next. And of course, I'm making reference to 2 Corinthians 3:18, which says the Lord is always transforming us into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is spirit. And so with this mindset that the Lord is always taking us from one place to another, we should not be comfortable in our world wilderness just because we're seeing God in it.
You know, a lot of us, we're not prepared for the wilderness. Let me take it there. You know, when that Red Sea split, the children of Israel thought, man, our worries are done. Okay, Pharaoh is being left behind. From here onwards, we are going to party. Okay, mind you, they don't know what's behind the Red Sea. And next thing you know, you're in the desert, which is our experience as believers. You get saved. When you got saved, you were coming from such a low that you thought, oh man, the Lord has set me free. The party begins. And then the work started. Mm-hmm. The Lord has put things in place to grow you, to mold you, to fold you. Some of your friends are being removed out of your space. Some of the things that you loved no longer have a place in your life. And, you know, you go through this period of struggle, of building character, of learning who you are as a person, how far you can go, how to pray, where to lay hands, how to be obedient, how not to be disobedient. And then it starts feeling like this is the journey. You know, this part of the wilderness must be Christianity. Maybe this is all there is to it. And you forget that there's a promise. There's an area where God called you for. And guess what? The promise is not the struggle. The promise is not the wilderness. And now this balance between going through our promise or to our promise through the wilderness becomes a struggle, because the wilderness becomes familiar. You know, things not working out becomes familiar. Now you don't want to have faith for the next step. Beloved, we need to push forward. And I need you to lean in on this conversation, because man, oh man, you cannot choose to stay in the wilderness. It didn't work for David to stay in the cave. It didn't work for Moses to not enter his promised land. So we need you. Also, for the sake of us, the people you're listening to, you might be thinking, Danny, but you guys on radio, no. What you've been called to will also touch us and touch our children,
yep,
and our descendants. So we need you to get out of the wilderness, and it's for the sake of the body of Christ. Are you ready today?
Remember that you can contact us with your opinions as well as your experiences of how did you get out of the wilderness. 071-364-0376.
Where hope lives, where you belong. Impact 103.
You're still with the Vambillies, and oh boy, we are getting this topic going. You know, growing up in the church, there's a teaching about Moses that we misunderstood, you know. And this teaching is about the light he came down with. You know, after his encounter with God, he had a glory on him and it was shining. Everyone could see it. But that light was slowly fading. Now, he didn't want the Israelites to realize that that glory is fading. And in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7 says, But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses, because the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. Trying to keep the old encounters new is what I'm going to attach to this thing, okay? Because Moses knew he's dealing with a people who are into miracles. And his encounter with God gave him this glory, but slowly it was going away. He covered himself so they don't see that it is actually fading, that the light is getting dimmer. Because he knew if they could see the light is getting dimmer, they might even be a bit more rebellious. Okay, now I'm making a presumption there, but we know what we saw with those people. Now, some of us are like the Moses. You know, you encountered God, but guess what? The light is getting dimmer. The word is getting old. So guess what you do? You keep repeating old testimonies. Some of you, man, your testimonies are still 2019 testimonies. You're still talking about what God did before COVID. And then when you come to COVID and post-COVID, all you talk about is how bad things are since COVID. Now, I'm here to remind you that his mercies are new every morning. You need to update your word. You need to re-encounter the Lord. You need something new, something fresh for this season, because guess what? The wilderness was important, but you can't stay in the wilderness. When there's new grace available to you, beloved, you can't be quoting just what God did last year. I'm not saying you should forget. I'm saying you need to be a pit bull and you need to bite onto the Lord, onto the Spirit of the Lord, and tell him, I need something new. I need to enter into a new season. You know why? It's very dangerous to hold on to the things of old. And it's also dangerous to think that it's only miracles that make people move. Have we not seen with the children of Israel what happened? That God split the Red Sea, and then at the next problem they forgot. That God fed them food that fell from the sky. But every time there was a new problem, they forgot, because the problem was the hardening of their heart. Hebrews 3:15 speaks of the evil heart of unbelief. And it says this: today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. So some of you might be sitting there and saying, Danny, you don't know what I've been through. No, I know, because we've been through hard times. Letitia, have we had a good time the last couple of years?
Oh no, like for real, the last 5 years have been a mess.
A total mess. And guess what? The Lord has kept telling us to press forward.
Yeah.
He's not told us sit in the mess. Enjoy, build
a fortress in the mess. Get comfortable with the mess.
No.
Instead, the Lord is pushing us to get through to the other side.
And that's why we're coming back to you and we're saying, listen, bro, we're going forward with you. Whether we've dealt with sickness, we've dealt with witchcraft, we've dealt with traitors, we've dealt with so much in the season. But the Lord has not allowed us to build a camp there. He's kept telling us, Vambilis, push forward. Vambilis, with every failure, push forward. With every disappointment, push forward. Every time we've thought, oh man, has the Lord let us down? Has the promise not come to pass? The Lord has said to the Vambilis, push forward. So if the Van Renfeld are listening today, if the Kumalos are listening today, you cannot decide to stay stagnant, broken, disappointed, and say, yo, this is life. No, this is not life. At least not for you. Lady V, anything from your side?
No, I'm just encouraged. I'm listening to you like it's a sermon. I'm like, yeah, I can do this. I can do 2024. Listen, you need to gather everyone around the table for this one. It's such an encouraging word as we transition into a new season. Remember that God has more in store for you than what you're going through. I'm currently getting some of your messages on 0713640376. And already they're so encouraging. Keep them coming through as we all drag each other out of this wilderness. So here's something interesting about the wilderness. It can be dreadful. You know, the tenets of depression, one of them is the belief that this is the rest of my life. And that's why people go to the ultimate of depression, is this belief that I'm never coming out of this, so let me just end it all. Let me read something for you in Deuteronomy 8 verse 15. I'm actually going to read Deuteronomy 8 verse 15 to 18 if you want to follow through. Verse 15 says, he led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness. Did you know that just because it's dreadful doesn't mean God is not there? According to Deuteronomy 8:15, he can lead you through a vast and dreadful thing. It continues to say that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. Here's what's interesting about the wilderness is that it is waterless, it is dry, and it is filled with snakes and scorpions. Sometimes we don't talk about the reality of what that wilderness actually was for the children of Israel. Now, as it pertains to you and me, you can be going through a season where the venomous snakes and scorpions are people. And you just feel like you're surrounded, and where is the Lord? According to Deuteronomy 8:15, if you're seeing venomous snakes, scorpions, waterless dry land, you might just be in the wilderness. And in the wilderness is where the Lord leads you and protects you. He brought you water out of a hard rock, verse 15 says. You know, there's a way that God makes a way in the dry land, and we can become so accustomed to getting water from a rock that we don't know we can open a tap.
Oof.
And sometimes that is the God you know. You know the God of hardship. You know the God of toil. You know the God of, if you think of a rock, it's such a hard substance for water to come out of. And we begin to know God as this hard thing. And we don't think that even our relationship with God can evolve past a rock into a tap, right? We see that with the Israelites. God provides in the wilderness, and you will think this is it.
Sure.
You know, because people helped you during COVID, they shouldn't still be helping you 3 years later. This is not it. God brings support so that you can be established where he wants you to be. Verse 16 says, he gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might be well with you. How many can believe that the canned foods that you were eating in the previous seasons was simply a test? Of humility, a test that it might be well with you. You know, we make doctrines of God's provision in the season of hardship, where we say, collect your manna, I want my manna. But Deuteronomy 8:16 says that the manna was for humbling and testing. So my question is, do you want to be humbled and tested for the rest of your life?
Come on.
Or do you want to move past the point where God is providing for you differently? Deuteronomy 8:17 and 18 now says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. So according to Deuteronomy verses 15 to 18, the Lord did all those things to teach the Israelites that it is his power that produces wealth. That is the humility that God was trying to make sure they knew, that it is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And that was the future covenant. He was showing them a picture that there is a time that is coming where the toil will not be yours, it is mine. The Lord wanted to establish something in them and something out of them. The wilderness can become a mindset where previous seasons we feel failed by God, like they felt in Egypt. And you begin to think, listen, I'm stuck there. But the manna season is for God to see the truth of your heart more than you seeing the miracles from God. But it's time to come out of that. You know, the thing with the wilderness is that it builds an inferiority complex that's hard to come out of when God says rise. What happened when the spies went to look at the promised land? They said, we were as grasshoppers unto ourselves. What hit me about that verse is that the giants did not call them grasshoppers. They called themselves grasshoppers.
That's that mindset.
It's that mindset that I'm so small. But what we need to understand is that the Israelites had a 400-year-old history of slavery. So they did see themselves as small. And they were so enslaved by this mindset, they begged God for bondage because they were used to bondage. And they said, Lord, bring us back to Egypt. At least we had food. At least we had shelter. At least we had this and that. And the Lord was dealing with a population that was so accustomed to trauma, they were begging for it. They had a trauma bond. And this is why the story with the Israelites in the wilderness, though we may judge them and look at it from every other angle, there was a mental block that kept them from seeing themselves for how great they were in the Lord. And today, we're bringing that to you to say, do you have a wilderness mindset? Have you been making do with the little that you have? Did God do something big when the whole world stopped 3 years ago? He probably did. But the Lord is calling us to go to a higher place in Him.
You're on 103 FM with the Vanvillies, and you know what? We are reading your messages and we want to hear from you. 071-364-0376. Have you ever went through a wilderness season and then struggled to transition from the place of lack to the place of plenty? I'm going to start with a testimony. The Lord had told us at some point to bless a certain family with groceries for a month. All right? And we, in obedience, went and bought them groceries for a month. But within a week, it was all done. And I didn't understand, you know, and when I spoke to them, I couldn't grasp, because what we'd gotten for them, we'd also gotten for ourselves. And some of the stuff we'd gotten them lasted us more than a year, but they finished it in a week or two. And upon engaging them, I understood, like, no. Because in their mindset, they've been in a season where whatever comes is for the day. They just ate it up. They gave away. They could not see themselves storing up provision for a month. And this is why I'm asking you, if you cannot change your mindset, you know, to press forward into your next season, if you're still looking back at the season of wilderness, you're going to struggle in your season of abundance. You're going to struggle when the Lord gives you, let's say, finances and it's for the future. You're going to spend it because you're afraid. All you know, it's like when that manna came and people felt the need to eat it up and then store. But God told them, no, that's just for provision for a day. So now they go into a mindset of, okay, every provision is for the day. But they're fighting, you know, keeping some for the next day. But now there comes a time when God's saying, no, I'm giving you provision for the month. Now you're used to provision for the day.
Ooh, something just came in my spirit. I have to interject. Manna couldn't be kept for one night, but honey doesn't expire.
Oh, come on.
And they were going into the land of milk and honey. So there was a season where they could actually store up.
Yep.
Ooh, goosebumps. Where's the offering basket? I'm going to offer myself.
Do not allow your life to condition you, to place you to a place where you accept bad things as normal. Living from a place of lack is not normal. Living in a place where what you have is just for today is not normal. And we can see this in the story of Joseph. What happened? What do we know Joseph for? We know him for coming before a famine and preparing the whole nation to have enough. For when the time came when they needed, they had stored. So some of us, because of the seasons of lack in our lives, we don't know how to save. You know, the problem you're having with saving comes from the season and of turmoil, the season of constant lack. Now you know how to live day to day. When the Lord is telling you, save up, you're like, save up for what? I always have enough. No. The season has changed. Maybe at that time, you'd have like 100 rand to get you through a day. Now you've got 2,000 rand and you're still spending it like it's the 100 rand for the day. Beloved, you need to stop looking back. You need to stop looking at pain. Some of you have been through bad relationships so much that you don't know how to be prepared for good relationships. There's one last thing we want to touch on, and this has to do with gold, okay? We all know that gold is different from silver. Letitia, what does that scripture say?
Proverbs 17:3 says, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. And what this is essentially saying is that gold and silver are refined differently. Interestingly enough, I looked up the difference between the furnace and the crucible. The crucible is a container suitable for melting metal, whereas the furnace is a heating chamber, guys. So if you're gold, you will go through a process where you are surrounded by fire. But how many of you know that Jesus always appears as the fourth man within that fire?
So, beloved, whoever you are, wherever you are, let's get ready for the new season. No taking old things into the new. Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it.
It's that time of the show where we begin to read your messages. Remember that you can send us your thoughts and opinions on 071-364-0376.
Okay, before we go into the messages, we need to touch on this thing of seasons, okay? A lot of us are coming out of seasons where God had to take out people from your life. And when we speak to believers are always concerned that the friends they started with are no longer there. The people they were in the wilderness with are no longer there, or are not the people going with them into the promised land. But guess what? That's normal. Going out of the wilderness means that there were people who did not believe God. People who looked at the promised land and said, there are giants over there.
Yeah.
And because there are giants over there, we're not going to make it. We are like grasshoppers.
You know, what I think is interesting is essentially you're talking about Joshua and Caleb's mentality versus the group mentality of the Israelites. They went with a few other people to scope out this land, yet only these two come out with a good report. And as Danny's speaking about leaving old places and old people and old places of comfort, this becomes the problem when we talk about a transition transition from the wilderness into the promised land. Now, I don't know what God would have done. I can't pretend to be God. But Joshua and Caleb, imagine if they had a group of the Israelites that wanted to go with them and said, listen, y'all can stay. We're out. We're going because we know what the Lord has said. And the issue with this mindset, and we've had a show on this before. Early on in the year, we talked about what is the word of God and what is just popular rhetoric. Popular rhetoric is, I must stay with my day ones. Mm. Never betray your day ones. And I remember in that show saying, what would Moses say about that? Because his day one was Pharaoh.
Wow.
And Pharaoh's house was good to Moses. He was not abused in that house. In fact, he was made prince when he wasn't even their blood brother. So the mentality that this person is my brother, so we must go everywhere together, is not necessarily biblical. Even Joseph had to leave his own blood brothers in order for him to help them in the future. So some of the friendships that died this season, it's because you were in the wilderness, and there are certain things that just don't come out of there. There are certain friendships that die. There are
certain relationships,
certain ideologies that die. Parts of you even die in that wilderness.
And I'm looking now into the messages that have come in. Thank you for the powerful Danny and Mrs. Vambili. Oh man, I needed to hear that powerful message. That's from Beverly. And then there's some more that just said, thank you. Nomva also said, for me, I should thank the Lord about you. Trust me, this is new and well healthy to put it on my bag. Thank you, the Vambilis. Claudine says, good morning. This is Claudine. I personally don't think that we can ever be ready for our wilderness. And the reason why I say this is because our wilderness seasons are not the same every time.
True.
With every wilderness season we go through, we learn, we grow, and we become stronger in our faith. God bless.
Claudine, I definitely agree with you. And you've brought up a topic that I think is interesting to munch on for a few seconds. In a lifetime, one will go through many different wildernesses. I don't know if it's because we watch TV and see movies and read the Bible and see stories ending, but we have this mentality that one day this will end and everything will be okay. Yes, God aims for us to grow in all our seasons, but you may go through a few different wilderness seasons, because what is a wilderness? A transition from one place of glory to the next.
So, are you ready to leave behind the group mentality and press forward into the promised land? Because if you are, guess what? We are going in with you.
You know, in the beginning of the show today, we talked about how the wilderness is not just about the children of Israel being stuck or going through a journey in the wilderness, if you will, after Egypt. But there's so many other examples in scripture that signify the same type of wilderness, a kind of preparation, a difficult one that the children of God go through in order to ascend to the next level. Now, I often think about Noah, and I have this analogy in my head. If I'm Noah, and the whole world has drowned, and my family and I were miraculously saved by this God encounter that had me build a boat for like 100 years. I'm never leaving that boat, Danny. That boat is my fortress. You know when the Bible says the righteous shall run into him and they are safe? The him is the boats. And I will live there. Our generation will give birth to children there. Why? Because that's how humans are. That's what we are. We're humans. We're creatures of comfort. And if this thing looks safe, I'm going to stay in it. And for Noah to
especially
even,
if it saved you in the last season.
Exactly. For Noah to even come up. Guys, listen, Danny, you just bring up something important. The boat saved them in the previous season, but God called them out of it. Can you believe building something for 100 years that only serves you for 40 days?
Oof.
You can make a temple of that boat. That thing would become a shrine, an altar for worship. Instead, God had him build another altar outside the boat and made a new covenant with Noah. And so essentially what we're saying today is, guys, the boat that carried you is not the boat that will keep you. And there's a time when the Lord came and told you to build that boat. And there was so much energy and effort and time that was put into it. But when God comes and says, listen, come out of the boat, do not be afraid. When the Lord says, cultivate and populate this world, do not be afraid. Why? Because the wilderness raised you. Because the 40 days of rain raised you. And you know what was difficult for people like Noah is when I was a child, no, let me not lie, even in my adulthood, when I think of Noah being on the boat, for some reason, the boat is stagnant on the waters. It doesn't move. And then everybody drowns and then the boat lands on a mountain.
The same place.
The same place. But realistically, guys, if we think of the sea and the currents of the waves, the boat moved. This boat could have ended up in a different country. We're not talking about Noah being in the city where he built the boat. So they were coming out into the unknown. They were coming out into nothingness. And, you know, to quote Claudine, who messaged us earlier, you just can't be prepared for your wilderness. That's the whole point of it. You know, it comes as a surprise and you have to move with the voice of God. That's why it's so important to move with the voice of God, because you just cannot be prepared for some of these things. And Noah, if you read, I think it's in Genesis chapters 8 and 9. If you read, you'll realize that Noah didn't come out the first time. Okay, I'm going to try to find the scripture, but Noah could have come out a little bit earlier, I think a week earlier, and he only came out the second time. For me, that makes sense because the man was coming out into no infrastructure. He was coming out. Guys, where did the bodies of the people that drowned go?
Sure.
Who picked that up? Who had to proper rebuild? So when we make judgments on Noah because he got drunk and his son saw him in a state of dress and undress, I don't think we realize that this is a man who had the weight of the world on his shoulders. So this morning, I want to talk to the Noahs and say, get out of that boat.
Come on.
The Lord has given you every single tool in your arsenal to be able to build. Yes, it won't be easy. Yes, it won't be a walk in the park. But if he called you to it, you are good for it. The same God that called you into the boat is the same God that will lead you outside of the boat. And for those of us that are married, I think we understand this on this particular level. To say that, you know, Hollywood tells us you get married, it's about to be happily ever after. This is your best friend. You guys are going to have movie nights every night. How many people, you can tell me in the WhatsApp chat, 0713640376. How many of you got married and you thought, this is my happily ever after, and then the winds and the storms and the, but here you are today. And I think that's what Danny was talking about earlier, that the last 5 years for us have just been winds and storm and hail and everything you can think of. But the mentality and the mindset had to change to say, you know what? The Lord has prepared us for a time such as this. Do not make a monument of your wilderness. Do not make a monument of your boat. Step out into what the Lord has called you into.
And you know, sometimes it's not that there's something wrong with the boat. The boat saved them. The boat was okay. It was built well. But the season had changed.
Come on now.
Some of you, even the church you were in was the right boat to carry you.
The pastor, you know, wasn't demonic.
Think, yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with the pastor.
You just need to move.
Don't think that because God is telling you to move, there's something wrong with that person or the place you're coming from. No, the season has changed. And you have to have the boldness to say, the Lord has said we need to move and move. The Lord has said we need to do the next thing that he wants us to do. When they got out of the boat, they could have chosen to turn the boat into the temple that saved them. But guess what? The boat was a season. And I love what Letitia said earlier. Even though it took them 80 years plus to build that boat, the boat was only there to serve them for 40 days. Choosing to stay there longer is a problem. Some of you, your marriage will strive when you move together. God's not calling you to divorce. God is calling you to change places, to change circles, to move on with the season, to find a church that caters for marriages. Why? Because Just because the church saved you guys and helped you get married when you were singles, and it caters well for singles, it does not mean it caters well for married people. I'm out.
So search for her.
Hanging out with the Vampillies, Angelo says the wisdom and revelation. I love it. Keep it up. Mary Lou says hot guys, profound conversation, and support thought provoking. We are so blessed to be with you in this final days of the year when the Lord is speaking and He is saying something new that will help us all transition. Lady V, take it away.
You know, as we talk about how many people experienced a sort of wilderness before they went to ascend into their godly transitions, I think about Esther. You cannot be in the palace with the mindset of a pauper. Okay, we almost saw that happening before her fast. You know that, where she was so scared. It's like she didn't know her power as queen. She was so scared. She said, I will surely die if I do this thing. And when she went back to the Lord for those 3 days and she sought the Lord basically showed her, listen, honey bunch, you are good for this. In the words of Mordecai, what if you were called for a time such as this? There is a danger in submitting to a king or a queen that sees themselves as nobody. That is a kingdom that will come to ruin because you don't know that you're no longer the orphan. You are now the queen of nations. Let me tell you something about grapevines. Grapevines that have been pruned produce more. The reference to this is all of John 15, where we see that if we don't cut away the excess, you cannot grow any further. And this is to say that if you've lost people, if you've lost money, if you've lost jobs, or you've lost yourself in the pits of depression in the previous season, guess what? You're ready to grow. You know, the ploy of the enemy is to always pervert the perfect will of God. When you're losing people, when you're losing things, when you're losing stuff, you begin to tell yourself that it must be because I'm rotten. It must be because there's a stench about me. It must be because something is wrong with me. But when you go into the Word of God, the vines that lose through the pruning, they grow.
Come on.
And so that's why it's so important that in whatever season you are in, that you understand yourself according to the positioning of Christ. There are so many things that just cannot go with you, grapevine, into the next season that the Lord has in store for you. Are you willing to let go of the wilderness mindset? And to quickly quote what Danny said earlier, it doesn't mean your mindset was wrong. It means that mindset is just ancient.
Come on.
It's like the Old and the New Testament. What does the New Testament say? Jesus did not come to abolish, but to accomplish. So it's not to say that the Old Testament was bad, but it's to say that as it was, we would never reach salvation. And so Jesus just made sure that as He comes, there's a new way that we accomplish the Old Testament. It's called the Holy Spirit. So in the same way, it doesn't mean your old season was bad or demonic. And I do understand that for some people it was that. It simply means that God needs you to have a mindset change for the new place where you are going. God wants you to go from manna that perishes in 24 hours to the land of milk and honey, where honey doesn't spoil at all. But imagine being scared in a place of honey. Imagine thinking we need to ancient.
Come on.
It's like the Old and the New Testament. What does the New Testament say? Jesus did not come to abolish, but to accomplish. accomplish. So it's not to say that the Old Testament was bad, but it's to say that as it was, we would never reach salvation. And so Jesus just made sure that as he comes, there's a new way that we accomplish the Old Testament. It's called the Holy Spirit. So in the same way, it doesn't mean your old season was bad or demonic, and I do understand that for some people it was that. It simply means that God needs you to have a mindset change for the new place where you are going. God wants you to go from manna that perishes in 24 hours to the land of milk and honey, where honey doesn't spoil at all. But imagine being scared in a place of honey. Imagine thinking we need to consume this honey so that it doesn't spoil. That is called diabetes. If you consume,
if you
want to
treat your honey like your manna, yes, you will get diabetes.
This is such a profound word to say. Do not be afraid of what God brings you in the new season, and that he will be the one to guide even the management of those. You know, if God could tell you how to handle the manna, I promise you he will tell you how to handle the milk,
come on,
the honey as well.
And we have to embrace God's leadership. Whether he took us through hard times or not, we can't decide that just because he took me through hard times, now I can't trust him in the season of abundance. You have to rest in him and say, you know what? I am ready to walk in this new season. I am ready to accept that the page has changed and not take offense against the Lord. Because a lot of us, what we are doing is we are holding on to the pain so much that we are offended with the Lord.
Yeah.
And we cannot walk into this new season receiving the fullness of the trust and the confidence. God has done the job in you and now knows that you are able to handle abundance. But he had to build that in your season of lack. So don't go now into your season of abundance with your mindset of lack so much so that you even destroy the season of abundance.
You know what I think is so profound as you were speaking, this just dropped in. Thank you, Jesus. After every trial is a new covenant. If you look at Joshua crossing the Jordan, they built an altar and the Lord made a new covenant. If you look at Noah getting through the 40 days, they left the boat and made a new covenant. If you look at Abraham getting through the Isaac and all of that, they made a new covenant with God. And so I want to encourage you this morning that a challenge can be a sign that the Lord wants to make a new covenant with you. That no matter how difficult the previous season was, it's about forging through and getting to the other side so that you can find out what is your new testament. Look at what had to happen for the new testament to even come about. Apart from the entirety of the Old Testament and the very death of Jesus before the eyes of his loved ones, at least they thought it was death. Those are the things you go through before a new covenant can come. So sometimes when there's a storm, be encouraged to know that if I push through the storm, I will find my new covenant. You're listening to the beautiful sounds of Kevin Quinn with Blessed. We want to thank you guys for your messages. We got a particularly poignant one from Michelle just now, talking about the difficulty of her wilderness, but how she's thankful to the Lord for getting her through. If you're thankful, you can send through your messages to 071-364-0376. Try to keep it under a minute so we can play it all on air.
And Michelle touched on very key things that happened to her, where she'd lost her husband and then the Lord gave her another husband who unfortunately also passed on, not in a good way, you know, and just how much she had to push through in that season of struggle and, you know, being a believer and, you know, she's a fourth generational Christian. You know, so this wilderness season was really rough for her, as you can imagine. But you know what? Her message was 3 minutes. I wish it was under a minute, but man, she had a lot to say. You know, we couldn't expect her to summarize it. But let me play you how she ended it off, because this was encouraging. To think she lost two husbands. My Lord.
I'm the fourth generation Christian, and oh, it's just been one mess. But, you know, I just want to give God all the glory and honor where I am today, the 20th of December, 2023, moving on to 2024. And I want to just say that where I am at this point in my life, from where I was, I can give God all the glory and honor. His grace, oh, His amazing grace and His compassion and His love for me has shown me and has taken me. That He is close to the brokenhearted, that no matter what you're going through in your life, are you in the darkest point in your life, God is there. He's closer than a brother, He's closer than a friend. And I just want to give Him all the glory and honor. And I just want to encourage people out there that, you know what? Your wilderness will pass. And I believe that the new year is going to be a better year. I'm getting better every day. I'm getting stronger every day. And God has actually taken me out of that wilderness. Thank you, Radio Impact.
No, thank you, Michelle. And we are going through this together. We're dragging ourselves out of the wilderness. You know, it's important to remember that, you know, the word is not in season for everybody. It's what speaks to your spirit in that time. We do understand that there are people who are fully still in their wilderness experience, but there are definitely so many where the time has come to get out. And with getting out comes a sort of thankfulness, as we heard from Michelle. The Vambilis are thankful. The Vambilis are grateful. The wilderness has been insane. The wilderness has been intense. But how much more should we then give the glory to our God the Father, that we are even here and standing and able to testify and say God has been good?
Sure. A lot of us don't know just how much you actually need this wilderness. You know, just how much it shapes you. Adversity. Adversity shapes us. It's not nice. Oh, Jesus, it's not nice. You know, there's no one who would willingly say, God, take me to the desert. Go show me what I'm made of. No, it's rough to go through a dry season, you know, especially when it lasts a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And you've come out of a season where you've seen provision and the Lord was there. And, you know, and I'm sure the children of Israel were confused. They're like, but this same God in this past season did a couple of miracles to convince Pharaoh to let us out. And we out now, so we're expecting a bed of roses. Why are we in a desert? And that can be confusing, not knowing that character is being built in that wilderness. What you need for the next season, you are going to build, and some of you have already built in the last season. But it's not enough. It's not enough, guys. It's time to let go of the desert experience and have a new mindset, because when you are being called to lead, you can't just lead from a place of adversity. Yes, you need to remember the times of adversity, but even more, you need to refocus and see the God that brought you out. You can't have your children going hungry because there was a season where you lacked. Some of you don't even want to travel because you're like, yeah, no, there was a time we didn't have, so we have to save. No. There's a time you need to save, and there's a time when you need to go and enjoy the spoils of war. There's also a time when the Lord tells you, okay, you've enjoyed the spoils of war. The next season is a season of saving. What's important is for us to know which season is which, so we can grab it with both hands and go forward. We have to know what the Lord has said for the next season. Beloved, we're going back into a quick word, and then yeah, it's time for us to close off. If there's final messages you want to send us, send it to us. 0713640376. Empty Room by Kate Thompson. You are with the Van Billies, and wow, oh wow, what a show it has been. Lady V, I don't know about you, but man, I'm encouraged. I'm actually going to ask Rory to give me a copy of the show, because I need to go through it. Or I'll be on our YouTube page, on the Impact YouTube page. For those of you who don't know, when we're done with this, it goes up there.
Yes, the Impact YouTube page is called Impact Online. And then if you want to see us on any of our social medias, where we've got the shows as well, it's at the Van Billies on TikTok, Instagram, as well as Facebook. I'm getting old. I don't know how many social medias there are. There are just so many. You know, Danny, to reiterate what you were saying, when I heard this word in prep as we were preparing for the show, I knew it was for me. And I think we take for granted that when we're a vessel for the Holy Spirit to speak through us, that's what we are. We're a vessel. It doesn't mean we get it.
Mm.
And that has been my revelation over like the past 3 years. You know, sometimes the Lord speaks through you to speak to you. Mm. And you have to sit with, quote unquote, your own sermon. And I think even saying your own sermon is a jump for me, because I no longer believe that we have personal sermons. I believe that the sermon comes from the Holy Spirit. And so when it comes this way, I go home and I munch on it. I sit on it and I think, Tish, what are you taking with you that you shouldn't be taking with you? What in terms of mindset from the wilderness are you thinking is now normal? When we speak about the Israelites, we just don't get them. We don't get how a God that can do 10 miracles back to back. You know, some of us can't name 10 miracles in a lifetime. These guys could name 10 miracles back to back, yet they go into the wilderness with a mindset that keeps them from being where they're supposed to be at the time they're supposed to be there. But when we make it about us, then we have a bit more empathy for the mental battle that this group, this nation, went through after leaving 400 years of slavery. Let's think about ourselves. What was normalized in our slavery and wilderness season that we want to take with us to our promised land?
Oof.
If I had to become angry, because that's who I needed to be, I was at war. God had called me to be a warrior. And in the next season, He wants me to sit down and to lead from a place of kingship or queenship. Does that mean that I'm doing that angry? Or does that mean that I will break my people if I bring the anger that got me through the last season? We keep saying this today, but it's not about the last season being wrong or even demonic or even cursed. It's that whatever got you through last season can break you this season. It can break others this season. Yes, you come from a ministry that abused you and a pastor that didn't get it and people that misused you, friends that betrayed you. Those things are not who you are. Sometimes it's just the shaking that you need in order to move. But it's not calling you to become mean and cold and break the people that God is going to call to you. Yes, the church disappointed you. Maybe it's just time to move. It does not mean that you need to run away from church altogether. So let's make it about us. Let's personalize the words, because that's the point. The Lord's not showing us a Noah so we can make pronouncements on who he was and what he could have done wrong or right. I believe the Lord gave us scripture so we can see ourselves. It's a mirror to say, what are you doing that's the same? What are you doing that could be different? And I'm encouraged by today's show.
I'm also encouraged. And, you know, in my mind, I'm just seeing a page flip, you know, and I'm just seeing us seeing it right. You know, sometimes we see things so wrong that it doesn't work for us anymore. You know, correction does not mean the Lord hates you. Wilderness does not mean you're no longer called. Redirection does not mean you were always going on the wrong way. No, it just means there comes a time when you need to pay attention to something, or you need to go into a new road. You know, I think it's sad that most believers only know how to separate when things have gone wrong. They don't know that there's separation that comes because a mission is fulfilled. And all the Lord is saying is, you guys have finished a beautiful season. I want you to go into the next. You don't have to fight each other. You know, you should be able to change churches and still have coffee. You should be able to leave a company where maybe you served for a couple of years and still come back and visit, you know. Why? Because you understand that it was a seasonal thing. It's not us hating each other, or, you know, you just deciding to be a terrible person. No, there comes a time to move on. And as we prepare you to move on into your next season, go in it without baggage. That's all. Even if it's a relationship, maybe God is bringing you into a new relationship, be it a romantic relationship or a business relationship, don't go in it with so much distrust that you break the thing that is new.
Yes, we just got a message from Mary Lou saying, today was amazing, so divinely timed. Please repeat where we can grab a copy to listen again. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can find us on Impact Radio's YouTube page, which is called Impact Online. The live shows are put there every single week. If it's not up by tonight, then by the end of tomorrow, it surely should be. And then, of course, you can also find a copy of yesterday's show as it was presented last night on all of our social media networks, but particularly at The Vambilis. That's a YouTube page as well, but all our pages are at The Vambilis, as well as Facebook and TikTok. Guys, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's been such an honor to be spending the end of the year with you. We think that that's divine. Next week is the last show of the year, so come one, come all, so we can continue talking God and talking faith into the new season.
We look forward to having our last show with you again from the Vambilis. Au revoir.
Au revoir.